This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I don't even think I need to ask, but you ready for the NHL trade deadline, Keith?
Of course I'm ready. Long overdue. This thing should have been February 7th, not March 7th, but here we are. There's like 10 games left in the regular season, and it's time for the trade deadline.
Okay.
3 o'clock sharp, so we do have our trade sounder. We're ready to go. If anything happens.
I forgot we have the trade deadline sounder.
Well, yeah, between now and 2 o'clock, and we can leave it for Hart if he wants it at 2. They never take us up on
no
it.
No one ever seems to take it, but it is there. What a team player move to just say, hey, here's our sounder. Take it.
So, of course, that's not a trade.
That was not an actual trade. No.
And then, of course, Billy Lanny is manning the NHL trade deadline desk, as he will be for the next 4 hours. So if any trade happens, Bruins, Kings, Canucks, Devils, name a team. If they make a trade, Jones.
Nordiques.
Stars. Current teams.
Winnipeg Jets.
Current team. Yes. So if any of those teams.
Yeah, they are back. You're right.
They're a real team. Yeah, they're actually really good. Yeah. So if anybody makes a deal, we will stop what we're doing immediately. We could have a guest on the line. We could be talking to a great caller. We are going to stop what we're doing, and we're going to throw it to Billy Lanny at the trade desk, and he's going to tell us what happened, and then we'll continue with our day.
All right. So, for instance.
Yes.
This is not actually happening yet.
This is another drill.
You just heard Chris Johnston there on the What Chaos podcast. Great work by DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn live stream leading up to the trade deadline.
Great stuff. Are they doing another 24-hour stream? These guys did a 24-hour stream, I think, right?
I think they are. Now, take 4 hours off and listen to us in the meantime, but they're doing great work.
Agreed.
At What Chaos. Great work by them. That was Chris Johnston saying it's likely Brad Marchand gets traded. So, for instance, if that happens, how would it sound again, Nick?
And then we would go to Billy Lanny on the trade desk.
So
very good.
You're gonna hear that. No, we're gonna.
I hope we get some deals.
Who knows?
A lot of deals.
What trades are happening today? But the NHL trade deadline, usually an active day.
It is.
Like the NBA trade deadline let us down this year on the actual day. There were great moves leading up to it.
I was going to say it was a wild week.
Week was awesome, but all the moves happened in advance of the actual day. I'm hoping that's not the case with the NHL.
Is it just going to be Trent Frederick, or are the Bruins going to make some other moves? What about other teams around there?
They made a Brazo trade last night. Right, that doesn't do it for you?
Brazers? No, if they make
Brazol.
Brazol.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. No, you're right. Don Sweeney's phone works. We know that.
Yeah, no.
Right, he's made a couple of deals, Whelan and Nealon.
So, you think he moves? Do you think today's the day, Keith?
I kind of don't.
What?
I want him to.
Don't.
He should.
Well, No, he
should. They're different questions.
I didn't even need to ask that. I know you want him to move.
I don't know. I don't know if Don Sweeney has it in him. I don't know. I think he's worried more about the backlash of trading Brad Marchand. He should. He absolutely should and get a big return. I don't know. I have my doubts that they're going to be able to pull it off. Maybe they're going to ask for too much. Maybe teams are going to say, hey, we would give you this if he was 100% healthy, but he's not 100% healthy, so we're only going to give you that.
Got it.
Like, I feel like that throws a little bit of a curveball into it.
Well,
What do you think?
In some way, I think he moves. Okay. But I hear what you're saying, because in some ways, does the Frederick trade hurt? It's like, oh, you're right. It is a seller's market. A second and a fourth plus a prospect, non-prospect for Trent Frederick? Ooh, it is a seller's market.
Could you get two ones?
I need a haul for Brad Marchand. I'll tell you, again, great work. DJ and Pete, what Chaos podcast. Mm-hmm. They had on Frank Saravelli as well, who's credited. Scoops insider, hockey insider, Rich Keefe in the past.
Yes, thank you, Frank.
So friend of the show.
Some of us.
Frank Saravelli.
Thank you, Frank.
Good exchange here on the return that the Bruins are looking for with Brad Marchand. And does this hurt them in any way leading up to the 3 p.m. deadline?
Even with him being hurt, is it a first round pick plus, you think? Is it, I mean, everybody wants
plus,
like, what's that?
Plus.
Plus. My kid loves those plus.
This is going to be a significant deal if it happens. If not, they're not moving him. Like, this is not your typical rental. This is a heart and soul franchise player and captain of your team. So it's because on the other end of this, if you don't get exactly what you're looking for, I think everyone can agree that there's some contract to work out that makes both parties happy.
Okay, so put the contract thing to the side for a second.
So I think there's three things working against the trade.
Is Sweeney going to ask for too much, and ultimately that's where it falls on its face?
So that's one of them. Yep. So there's three things working against it. One, the injury, just sort of the uncertainty there.
Definitely.
Two, how big of a return they're saying. So they're like, if we trade him, it's got to be for like two ones and a player. And they're like, we're not doing that. And then they just end up hanging on to him. 3 o'clock comes by, and they're like, oh, crap, we didn't get a deal done. And then just, I think, worried about the backlash. Like, you go on Twitter, it's probably 50-50. I think
The Greg Hill Show did a poll the other day. 60-40.
Oh, 60-40. Okay.
So, I mean, I don't think...
But I saw, like, on Twitter, people being like, if they trade Marchand, I'm going to light myself on fire. Okay. You're like, you don't want that. You don't want that on your conscience.
Who was that, Haggerty?
It might have been Hags. No, it's Ray Kroft. He's like, you can't possibly do that.
No, Ty, I think.
They're all going to melt down. Because the franchise will cease to be if Brad Marchand's gone, according to some.
Yeah, for God's sakes. So, okay.
They're doing so well with him. They're just a wagon with him on the ice.
No, I think the Bruins can make it. We haven't mentioned this yet. What a game last night.
I told you, my buddy
bought tickets to this game. He lives in South Carolina.
Money back?
He drove all the way to Raleigh this game last night.
Oh, yeah, well, Raleigh will give him his money back.
Incredible seats. He's sending me pictures all night. He's like, these seats are awesome. I'm having a great time. He didn't make a sign.
I didn't see him.
His back was to the camera. He was right behind the Hurricanes penalty box last night.
Yeah.
Incredible seats. He makes the trek all the way to Raleigh, and he's like, oh, he texts me. He's so excited. It's 2-2 early in the third. And then he's like, this is the worst. Like, just what a kick in the nuts. Zadorov breaks his stick. I thought, I almost saw Ray Kroft and Rask and Bergeron all cry in unison on Nesson last night when it happened.
Oh, yeah, they were doing their little Manning cast?
Yeah, no, it's good insight. And it was just like, if there's any hope you had of the Bruins last night, Zadorov, that embarrassment of a signing, like that train wreck of a signing and this train wreck of a season, there is no point in going forward anymore. If you still weren't sure, last night should cement that based on the embarrassment that it was. But you're right.
Can they get the number one pick? Like, are they in that kind of territory yet? I mean, they're not going to bottom out to the point of like San Jose or Chicago.
I mean,
but they're
in hockey, anyone in the lottery can win.
That's true.
So what are the lottery teams, though?
Isn't it
non-playoff teams?
Yeah.
Is it everybody?
They changed it, I think. They changed that a few years ago, right?
Because it was just top five, right?
A couple years ago, I think the Blackhawks moved up like 9 spots or something like that.
Yeah.
Got a chance then.
Whatever it is, they changed their lottery. Now that we're talking it out, I'm less confident in what I'm saying, but they did alter their lottery. I can't remember if they altered it to 4 teams or they altered it away from 4 teams, but they altered their lottery.
Could the
Bruins get the number one pick? Maybe.
I think they have like the 6th worst goal differential in all of hockey.
The way they're going? Burn this thing to the ground.
Seriously.
Sacco stinks. Marchand hasn't given you anything, and he's hurt on top of it. Trade away the whole team. Go tank. Yeah,
sure. One weird part of this whole thing, though, is if Don Sweeney is still in charge now, and if Don Sweeney trades all these guys and gets a million picks, who wants Don Sweeney making all of those picks? It's a really weird spot to be in. Because normally, I would say the best thing Don Sweeney has done in his tenure is trades to buy at the deadline.
Yep.
This is the one year where Don Sweeney's team is not going to make the playoffs. He needs to be a seller. But then you're like, all right, is he really the right guy to like retool, to take Cam Neely's words and do all of that? I don't know. Also, his free agent signings this past offseason clearly leave a lot to be desired. Like, Zadorov's horrible.
No. His free agent signings, period, kind of are terrible.
Mm, yeah, I guess you'd have to go back. Who are his best signings?
Was he still Bolesky? Was he a Matt Pulleski guy?
Pulleski.
And who was the who was
Backus? He signed Backus.
Oh my God, David Backus.
We argued about that at the time.
David Backus was just he had an awesome career.
Swept up in Team USA Olympics.
That was originally reported as 1 year, $6 million. Right. Everybody was happy, and then it was 6 years. So $6 million.
So Pulleski.
Sorry,
was,
I read a one there. It looks actually it was a six.
Pulleski was never good.
Pulleski sucked out loud.
Backus was good, but he was cooked.
Yeah, he was washed.
Then, like, you know, you look at Lindholm's. No, the only thing Sweeney's good at are his actual NHL trade deadline
but
deals.
But now
so
you're on the other side of it.
But he was on the other side of it with Frederick.
But he's good at... Yeah, that's true. I guess he made a good deal
He made a good deal selling with Frederick.
But the problem is, normally
they're buying, but he just made a good selling trade.
No, but here's the thing. And overall, Sweeney gets... He's been getting dunked on left and right. They're chanting to fire Sweeney during the year. So normally he was in a spot where he would trade away his picks, which we didn't think he was necessarily going to hit on anyway, and he'd bring in Tyler Bertuzzi's of the world and try to really help the team. You're like, all right, great. But now we're in a spot where you want him to acquire picks, which is good for the franchise.
Yeah.
But if he's the one making those picks, what is that? Is that really going to be the path to turning this thing around sooner rather than later? I don't think so.
I wouldn't feel great about it. By the way, the latest from Pierre LeBrun in the last hour is wishy-washy. We'll see where it goes on Marchand.
Well, there's a lot of these, like, he could be traded or he might stay. It's like, right.
Yeah, right.
I feel like those are the two choices.
So Chris Johnston kind of did some of that, the clip we played for you off the top of the show. He did some of that, but he is leaning pretty heavy into...
Yes, he's a little bit stronger towards trade.
I'd expect to wake up and he's traded.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be to a West Coast team. But LeBrun does cross one team out. He says, we'll see where it goes on Marchand. I think it could still go either way, signed or traded. But I don't think Colorado is the likely landing spot now, mostly based on the assets they spent last night on Brock Nelson, which was a trade that we weren't able to update in the middle of the show. But you know what the sounder would sound like.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a done deal. And look, all these insiders are saying it. Chris Johnston, LeBrun, or maybe it was Cervelli and LeBrun. I don't think it's a done deal. They're going to work out a contract.
No, they haven't all year. If they've been talking all year, they don't have a deal?
So this idea he's going to get signed or traded, I mean, that's what the insiders are saying. But I think there's also a third scenario where you don't trade him. He walks at the end of the year. And you guys,
Doomsday scenario?
You guys can't come to an agreement on a contract. You haven't yet. And so I think Sweeney applied pressure a week or so ago when he came out and said, well, yeah, we want him here and we want him to retire a Bruin. If I had my druthers, he'd be a Bruin.
Yeah.
And he's not yet. So the ball was in Marchand.
Whose druthers is it? Because he's not signed. So would you be okay? Not okay with, but it'd be a better result if 3 o'clock comes by, they don't trade him. You and I would both be annoyed that they didn't trade him. But then
they announce an extension.
Yeah.
Yes. That would be better. That would be better than no extension.
Right.
Yes.
You're like, all right, you're at least you're keeping this guy. And even though he's not the player he was, he's still your third best player, right? So, or fourth best player, however you, I guess, view Swayman, McAvoy, Pasternak. He's probably your fourth best player. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, like he is worth it. He'd be more worth it to somebody else trying to go for a cup and then all that you could get back in return and then try to go from there because, yeah, the fact that he doesn't have a contract also makes this the story that it is. If he was signed for two more years at like the same rate, I think there'd be less discussion about it.
So, you know, I don't disagree. So the worst scenario is we get to free agency, he hasn't signed, and he signed somewhere else. Then you miss the opportunity to get something for him at the deadline. The middle opportunity would be, or the middle road would be working out an extension with him, which I don't think is a done deal. I mean, Keith, he hasn't only clapped back at you this year. The number one insider in the sport.
Thank you.
He also has clapped back at the number two insider in the sport, Elliot Friedman.
Ever hear of him?
Early on in the year, Elliot Friedman said, yeah, it's a done deal. Bruins have worked out a contract. And Marchand came out and said, no, we haven't, and I'm not going to negotiate in season. So what that tells me, and I was thinking about this morning, I re-listened to the clip with Nick before the show. I don't think it's worth replaying, but I wanted to hear it again. What that tells me is the team thought they had a deal done with Marchand. They thought they were pretty close to the finish line.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They let Friedman know, and Marchand's like, no.
No, we're not.
And so what does that tell me Marchand's dug in on years or AAV? Or he just wasn't really sure he wants to finish his career in Boston. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, no, I don't want to finish my career in Boston. Who's going to say that? But I think Marchand's the one holding this up. And I wish I was more adamant about that when he dug in his heels back in October.
Yeah.
Like, no, the deal's not done. Friedman says the deal's done. Team probably told him the deal's done. Deal's not done. I'm saying the deal's not done. And he's the one holding this up. And if that's the case and you don't have a deal worked out, you don't think you can cross the finish line on a deal meaning a contract?
Yeah.
Sweeney needs to trade him by three, and I think he will.
Okay, I hope you're right. You know, because Brad Marchand did sign a pretty team-friendly deal. He's finishing up on a team-friendly deal. You know, when he played his prime years not making the kind of money that he should have made. And so now we've seen the Bruins play it out with guys like Bergeron, Krejci, who I think played for like $1 million in their final year. Zdeno Chara played for like $3 million or something insane, right? Like those guys, they were happy doing the Tim Wakefield year-to-year type of deal and just staying with the team. Brad Marchand's probably saying, look, I already gave you a big-time discount, and I'm sure he's not looking for like a huge raise, and he might even be willing to take a little bit less, but how much less? And does he want to go year-to-year? Because then you're in the same situation next year. So let's say he signs a one-year deal, and they are in the same spot this year. Trade deadline rolls around. Wouldn't his name be tossed out there again?
One would think, yeah.
Stuff? So I wonder if he's looking for, and I don't know this, but I wonder if he's looking for 2-3 years. Maybe he's looking for like a full no trade just so he doesn't have to deal with all this stuff. And they're probably saying, well, no, we want to have some more flexibility. And maybe it's Sweeney and Neely kind of playing hardball, because I feel like those two guys really won most of their negotiations until recently.
Yeah.
I don't think they won the Swayman deal. I don't think they won the Pasternak deal. They probably they didn't get worked on it, but I don't think that's exactly what they wanted to pay.
No, and maybe
even McAvoy.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Right.
Maybe Marchand looks around and he goes, well, yeah, well,
these guys are getting paid.
Swayman broke you guys?
Yeah,
I'm not taking your crappy hometown discount. I'm not doing it. Swayman didn't do it. McAvoy didn't do it. Pasternak didn't do it. I'm not doing it. So what do you think? Does Marchand get dealt by the 3 p.m. deadline? 617-779-7937. Should the Bruins do it? Would you be upset with the Bruins and Don Sweeney if he did it? And furthermore, what's the driving force here? Is it Sweeney trying to save his job, or is ownership telling him how to do his job? I want to get into that with all your phone calls again at 617-779-7937. One update from Friedman.
Yes.
And then I have a question for you, Rich.
All right.
And the people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Friedman says he's ticking through all the various names at the deadline. He says, Brad Marchand, we never thought we'd see the day, but it is possible the Bruins move him. He might not be back until right before the playoffs. That's interesting.
Oh.
Which could mean a more conditional style return, meaning conditional first round pick, conditional second round pick.
Maybe?
Yeah. Or maybe even how many rounds a team advances.
Oh, okay.
But there was a lot of noise around him on Thursday. There are a few different ways this could go. Extension talks hit a stalemate with the reminder that one call can change everything. He says it's 2:59 a.m., so time for bed. This is when he wrote it last night.
Wow, he was up late.
Late.
2:59.
That's Canadian time, though. So
he must have watched Traders and the Traders Reunion, and then he was still just like
thinking about it. Maybe he stayed up for Severance.
Oh, maybe he did.
I didn't do that.
I hate that's tough. People have already seen the Severance episode. I haven't seen it yet.
I made it for Traders and the Reunion. I did not make it for Severance.
I hear that.
So anyway, Keith, my question for you.
Yeah.
Marchand gets dealt. Are you, not that you need to be, but are you vindicated on your scoop from earlier this year, Pasternak v. Marchand?
So I feel like I already have been, and for people that are seeing it clearly, I feel like I already have been. I also don't know how much of a difference it's going to make for most people. I think they're dug in. I think most people realize that, all right, this team was a mess. Their coach got fired during the year. They're about to miss the playoffs after 2 years ago. A lot of the guys on this roster had the best regular season in the history of hockey. Last year, they were an automatic playoff team. This year, starting with the Swayman debacle and everything else, they were a mess. Swayman talking about his contract publicly, Marchand saying, we don't do that publicly, and then just sort of, there's been like a friction. It feels like there's been a divide all year. I honestly was shocked that my little scoop thing became such a huge deal. I thought it was almost obvious. Of all the things that I've had about the Bruins, I was like, that one seemed the least kind of newsy to me, and it became the biggest deal ever, which also kind of confirmed it at the time.
So I'm with you. I didn't think it was going to turn into what it turned into
either. I didn't think
it was going to be that. But here's why. You know,
because it's too true?
Well, no, just...
No, but that's how you respond to it if it's so, it hits,
with
Marchand, scratches the bone.
Look, trust me, yeah. I believe you, but I'm saying it's really easy to be like, I was right, Monty's out, Joe Sacco's in. It happened later that day.
Yeah.
I'm right, the Bruins are trading for Garnett Hathaway.
Yeah, these transactional ones are
I mean,
very
it's just like,
easy, yeah.
Boom, it's done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people are like, well, I guess Rich had that right. I got to bend the knee. This one, you can choose not to believe it, and you can point to, well, Pasternak scoring and Marchand scoring and Marchand said no. So I mean, I just think it's easier to latch onto it. But I'm with you. The team's been off all year. You don't think their captain's right in the middle of it?
Yeah.
You don't think their best player's right in the middle of it?
Right.
So I think you may not need it.
I don't think I need it. But
if they trade their captain,
Right, which you don't do, I've heard.
Yeah, I heard it never happens.
You can't do
certainly
it.
Not this franchise. Nope. They wouldn't have done it.
0% chance.
Like, I think you would be vindicated.
Thank you.
If and when Marchand is traded, not that you need it,
mm-hmm.
But you can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can get in touch with Jones and Keefe all day long. That's your phone number and your text line. Should they trade Marchand? Will they trade Marchand? Would you be angry if they trade Marchand? All day long on our trade deadline special here on Jones and Keefe. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Our latest is up now in the Jones and Keefe uniform bracket.
Oh, boy.
The baseball region is the first one up today. It's an 8-9 game.
What do we got?
The winner is going to play the Expos. We've called three of the precincts yesterday, Keith.
Is that right? We have enough data?
We called the baseball region. Right. We called the hockey region, bloodbath for the Whalers. And yeah. We called the football region for the Chargers.
Yep.
So three of the four precincts have been called. If you still want to vote in yesterday's too close to call basketball 1 versus 16, it's the Nuggets and the Hornets. And it is minimal votes separate the two.
It's like the original poll to decide the topic. That's
true.
Close.
It's a minuscule, razor-thin margin. You can still vote in that one because a one seed may go down. But in the baseball region, we have the 8-9 matchup, Marlins versus Mets, the pullover teal Marlins versus the 80s pinstripes. Right now, Marlins up pretty heavily in that one. So vote.
It's a nice color. It pops.
I personally voted Mets, not to influence the voting in any way, shape, or form.
All right.
I personally voted Mets.
I went Marlins.
It's up now at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. When we come back, the Marchand legacy here in Boston, the team over the last decade plus with Bergeron, Chara, Marchand. What legacy do they leave if Marchand is indeed on his way out? And what else do the Bruins have up their sleeve? We can get to that with all your phone calls.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't have a lot of sources, Zach, as you know. I'm not Scoops Keefe over here or anything like that. But I have a couple. There's a couple people I have who are in the know. And one of them told me last week that there is a 0% chance that Marchand gets traded. I shouldn't even talk about it anymore. That person texted me in this past commercial break and just said, hey, it's actually 50-50 now. Which, to me, sounds like he's getting traded. Like, if it was 0% last week and it's 50-50 now, then the next step is that it's 100%. He's gone to Colorado and he's there playing with Sidney Crosby and Nate McKinnon or whatever else.
It's Arcand last night.
Scoops Arcand.
I think there was clouds. I think there was real deference to Scoops Keefe.
Yeah, listen, I have no problem with it. There's a lot of scoops out there to be had.
He says, look, I'm no Scoops Keefe, but here's what I'm hearing. 0% a week ago.
50-50.
50-50 now.
Numbers are changing.
Ipso facto.
Follow the numbers.
100%.
That would be the next level.
Look, I don't rule out that Arcand's talking to people.
Why not?
We have
people,
you know
people.
Look.
There's a lot of people in the world, Jones.
There's a lot of hockey insiders at WEI, apparently.
Like, every show's got one.
People love talking to this radio station about Bruins information.
They love it.
So you can jump in on Marchand on the way out, potentially, 617-779-7937. Any trades break, we'll be sure to update you. Any news breaks, we'll be sure to update you. We will get to a variety of topics today. I should have mentioned these earlier. Friday 4-pack at 11:30. We'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket, 11:45. Keep your eyes on at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. If you want to vote along, the Nuggets and Hornets from yesterday, that precinct is too close to call. I'm not sure when the polling closes, 1 o'clock, something like that, 1:30. Wow. So we will know before the show is over, but that one's very, very tight.
That's right.
In the 1-16 matchup in the basketball region. We just released the 8-9 in the baseball region. Marlins and Mets, the winner will go on to face the Expos, the one seed in the baseball region, who advanced yesterday. Stay tuned to Jones and Keefe for more info there. We'll get to the Patriots as well. They have a new number one wide receiver target, according to Mike Giardi. I will tell you who that is and give our thoughts on it coming up.
Hmm.
But in the meantime, some Bruins phone calls here. Sorja in Mansfield, first in line. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones and Keefe, how are we today? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well.
So really quick here, guys. Nick Goss of NBC Sports Boston, he has a great piece. And, you know, of course, and it's a big ticket item, but obviously with Mikko and Lawton, you could get great value there. And he mentions that teams like the Stars, Jets, Maple Leafs, and Capitals haven't made any splashes yet. But I think with the Bruins, everything comes down to big picture. Everyone keeps saying this is a retool, but I think this is really a rebuild, right? I mean, we've been retooling for years, right? I feel like when the Bruins lost in the first round, they didn't meet expectations. And then last year, I feel like they kind of, you know, over-exceeded expectations.
Yeah, so Sorja, your call screen says rip the Band-Aid off.
I don't know what kind of took a long road there.
Isn't that, do they need that? Like, does this team need that? Rip the Band-Aid off, move on from the last, you know, vestige of Bergeron.
That was a long time ago.
Chara.
That was a long time ago.
Rask. Yep, like all these guys. Krejci. Just move on. And, you know, the coach is long gone. I mean, the original GM is gone. Sweeney's still here. Neely's still here. But, like, really move on from that? Yeah, I think it's time to rip the Band-Aid off. And extending Marchand for 2 or 3 more years does not do that. It's better than losing him for nothing. I'll grant you that. But it's time to rip the Band-Aid off. This is not... They didn't win enough as it is when they were all together. They're not going to win again, so move on. No one cares if he finishes. I don't care anyway. I shouldn't say no one. I don't care if he finishes his career in Boston. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Yeah, since losing in the Stanley Cup final back in 19, they've just treaded water. Now, they've had some crazy good regular seasons, but what does that really get you at the end of the day?
Nothing. You're the Al Horford Hawks.
So you lose like a heartbreaker in the cup final, and then you come back the next 2 years, you're out in the second round both years. Then you have 2 consecutive years where you're out in the first round, and then last year you make it to the second round and you're out. And now this year you're going to miss the playoffs for the first time since 2016. You're also already on your third coach over that span as well. Yeah, I don't really know what you're holding on to. Really, let's say they even sign Marchand to an extension. You come rolling back next year. How's everybody feeling about the team? What's the outlook of the team? Like, oh, they'll be fine? Why would they be fine? I don't know. I think you don't want too long of a rebuild or a retool or whatever else, but if you can maximize some of the guys on the roster right now where teams that are trying to win a cup are willing to overspend. They already overspent on Trent Frederick. Can they overspend on some of the other guys, namely Marchand, and try to get you in a position to really contend sooner rather than later?
So I also feel like, Keith, they need to go way bigger, and this is kind of what you're talking about. They need to go way bigger than just Marchand, right? Like, if Marchand's back, then
there's more to be done.
Yeah. So rip the Band-Aid off with Marchand. Get him out of here. He's had a great career. He's a great Bruin. He wasn't very nice to Keith recently.
No, I will acknowledge he's one of the greatest Bruins of all time.
He's a great Bruin. Like, I've made the argument before, way underappreciated compared to his former line mate, Patrice Bergeron, who's been sainted in Boston.
Yep.
And Marchand's done most of the same stuff in his career and is treated a notch or two down as an all-time great Bruin. So get him out of here. Rip the Band-Aid off, and then focus on the real stuff you need to focus on this offseason. Is Pastrnak the guy long-term? Or would you want to try to change the makeup at the top of the roster? Is McAvoy a guy long-term? Or do you want to try to change the makeup? What about Swayman? Trade Marchand now. Get that done. Get what you can. A plus-plus return, according to Frank Ciravelli. And then really look at what you need to do. Like, really alter the DNA of the team this offseason. And trading Marchand now allows you to do that.
Well, that's why I also wonder if you're just... Marchand's a big name. Obviously, he's the captain of the team. But Marchand and Frederick also weren't guaranteed to be on the team next year. So if you're really looking to make bigger moves, isn't it also include... Now, maybe the return's not the same, but guys that right now you are kind of locked into that maybe you don't want to be.
Right.
Like, do you really need to see the rest of Brandon Carlo on this deal, or Charlie Coyle, or Pavel Zacha? Like, can you move on from those guys, try to change the overall chemistry of the team? I do think, not a perfect player, but I still think Pastrnak, McAvoy are two pretty strong building blocks. Like, their age, what they've already accomplished, what they still could accomplish. Like, I'm keeping those guys and building around them, but I don't know how many other guys I'm really all that thrilled to keep.
617-779-7937. You could jump in here. What do they do with Marchand by 3 p.m.? Is it the right move? Wrong move? Would you be angry? I haven't heard from many people angry they'd trade Marchand. I know the results of the Greg Hill Show poll last week, it was like maybe earlier this week, 60-40 in favor of moving Marchand, which I think is a no-brainer, right move. Mark is in Medford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going pretty great.
So doesn't last night pretty much sum up the Bruins season in a used puck bag?
Last night was embarrassing.
Good example.
And it was Zadorov. It was just waste of money, waste of space, giant oaf, Nikita Zadorov, screwing up the game at the end of it.
That, not only that, Jonesy, but just when I thought Mason Lowry was not going to turn into minus Lowry,
he does.
Oh, my God. Turnover at the blue line, goal off his skate. I mean, for the love of Christ. But I got to say, would I be upset if they traded Marchand? Maybe a little bit. But I tell you one thing where I wouldn't be upset, if a team did actually call up and ask about Jeremy Swayman.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I'm on board with that.
Okay.
I'd trade Swayman, too.
Emily Kaplan had the note the other day where she's like, the only guys who are off limits are McAvoy and Pastrnak.
And I was like, yeah.
Then
I like that.
Then Corpusalo started last night.
Sure did.
I mean, I don't know. Is there a chance they trade Swayman today?
Well, yeah. There's a chance. I would put the chance being low, but okay. I think there's certainly a chance.
10%. Too high? 5%?
6.9%.
Nice.
But just because I don't think that was done, you know, with like, hey, he's going to be dealt, but it was pretty specific. Like, you easily could have just thrown his name on there. You could have said these three guys, because that was how I was kind of operating maybe a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you keep these three guys. They're young. They're all under contract. You just recently signed all three. I mean, Swayman's the most recent, but I was looking up his deal. His no trade stuff doesn't kick in for a couple of years.
Yeah, you got time to move
him. So if you were going to get out from under it. Yeah. And also of note, this past offseason, every goalie worth half a damn signed for about that money. So what we thought here was like, wow, that's a lot of money for a goalie. Like, it's more than Tuukka was making and everything else. It's kind of the going rate for goaltenders. So I think teams are willing to take on that salary. And now I think Swayman's going to be better next year than he was this year.
Me too.
You know, I think this was a rough start to the year and never really get out of the way. He does have a few games, and you can't do this. They're like, oh, if you take away the three snowmen that he allowed, or like,
we call that the razor. You take away a couple of games, it changes all the numbers.
These games where I went 0-for-5, take those games out. What's my batting average now? No, but like those games did really kind of sink him. He did have some good games. I also think the beginning of the year was a mess.
Okay,
but so if you get a big trade offer for him, like I don't think you're like, no way, no, not we're hanging up the phone.
Thank you. So that's exactly how I feel. Like no one on this roster is untradeable, including Pastrnak. So I would move Swayman in the right deal. But now let's try to think rationally. Are you going to get a good return for Jeremy Swayman at this trade deadline with his three goals against average, or goals against average of 3.00, and the absolute dog crap season he's had, and the high AAV he has with the new contract? Are you going to get a worthwhile return? So my answer
maybe.
Is, you think so?
Well,
my answer would be no, which is I wouldn't be itching to trade him. But if you got a worthwhile return, hell yeah, I'd listen.
So Trent Frederick is much worse this season than he was a year ago.
Yep.
And you got a 2-4 for him. Kind of surprising to me. So I wonder with Swayman, if you're getting in a negotiation with somebody, you do have to sell it a little bit more on, here's where we think he's going. You got him locked up, so you don't have to worry about haggling with this guy who went to Maine Business School and is trying to get the most money possible. You don't have to worry about that. We did the hard part with Swayman, and you can also point out how he looked in the playoffs last year. Mm. And a team might say, all right, like we'll go, because you know, we've seen in all sports guys that at the trade deadline aren't having career years, but still go for like big time stuff based on like what they've done before.
It's true. I still believe in Swayman. I'm still not all that upset about the contract, but he's been horrible this year.
But you deal him.
Yeah. And I mean, if he keeps playing like this, then obviously. But I think he's better than he's shown, and I think he will be better than he's shown. Do you think Igor Shesterkin in New York is terrible? Like he's not terrible. He's making more money than Swayman, and he's having every bit the crap season that Swayman's having. So that doesn't excuse the bad season Swayman's having, but I would still largely want him on the team. That doesn't make him untradeable, but I'm not itching to move him today. I doubt they move him today. Marchand, another story. Bob is in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You guys were kind of talking about what I was saying. I realized this year Swayman's been what he is. But I said from the beginning, this is what you're going to, what you see is what you're going to get. And I guess my question is, what do we do when we do this again next year and get the same lackluster results, not just from him, but from the whole team and the coaching staff? What are we going to do then?
It's a good question.
That's why I think if you can peel off some of the pieces this year, you do it. You're going to have a new coach in the offseason. Hopefully some new bodies in here.
You don't think Sacco's back?
I don't. I don't know. I mean, this is a bigger picture question, too. Is Sweeney back?
Not sure.
Yeah.
Like, here's my hope, by the way. My hope is that Sweeney is acting to attempt to save his job. I hope it's not ownership saying, all right, let's peel off Marchand. Let's do this. We're doing the rebuild, and we trust you to do the rebuild.
Yeah.
I hope that's not what's happening. I hope Sweeney's getting a little panicky, and he's like, I'm going to try to sell Buffalo, the Jacobs family, on a rebuild. That's how I'm hoping it acts.
Because normally you say, hey, you make the playoffs, you stay.
Rebuilding, retooling, I don't want him back.
But he's not doing, to this point, he hasn't done anything that's given up picks and giving up prospects, not that they have a lot of prospects, for rentals to try to be like a Hail Mary to make the playoffs. Now, maybe this last week is kind of, you know, the fact that they said during the Four Nations, right, there were 7 games to go before the deadline. Last night was the last one. That they were still kind of like figuring out what the path was. Like they had played so many games and they still didn't know. So part of me was like, if they had won 3 of these games over the last like 5 games, would they have actually bought?
Maybe.
Like now like you can't do it. But that to me would have been the safest way to save Don Sweeney's job. Would be like, hey, let's just get that second wild card and then they can't fire me because I made the playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see if he can sell, to your point, the, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs, but I have a plan to get us back in the playoffs next year, and it involves doing all these things.
Yeah, I just wonder, whose call is it even to trade Marchand? Is that Sweeney acting alone? Is Neely telling Sweeney what to do? Is the Jacobs family telling him? Like who's in charge of that? I'd like to know the answer. I'm not telling you I know the answer, but I'd like to know the answer on that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. You can vote. Our latest is up at Jones and Keefe. We have released the football region. We got the Cowboys and the Falcons up now at Jones and Keefe. Baseball already in full swing. Marlins and the Mets. So go vote in the Jones and Keefe bracket. Uniform March Madness, again, on Twitter. You can also seek it out everywhere else, social media, Instagram. You can watch along on YouTube and Twitch as well as you catch all of Jones and Keefe. Meantime, we'll get to the Patriots. I think they have a new number one target in free agency when it comes to wide receiver. We'll do that coming up. And Charles Barkley ripped Perk last night.
Yeah.
It's not rare. Perk gets ripped a lot. People,
Perk does.
He rubs people the wrong way.
Celtics fans don't like him.
I think he also sneaky ripped the Celtics. Let's get to that with all your phone calls next.
I saw a fool idiot on TV talking about the Lakers save the NBA.
Save the NBA?
Yeah, yeah. He's an idiot and a fool, but he know who he is. What's his name, Shaq?
Which one are you talking about?
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh.
He said the Lakers, first of all, the Lakers have had a great 2 weeks. He said the Lakers saved the NBA season. That's because them fools on the other network, which we're going to be working for next year, that's all they talk about. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell me something.
And first of all, I want all the smoke. I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard or anything like that.
I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard. Right. I like that. Hey, man, I'm stealing that one.
The Lakers are doing great. Got a long way to go. But the reason the season's been going great for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, y'all just want to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers. They're both doing great. Don't get me wrong. If I turn out to be wrong, I got no problem with that. But y'all are idiots because y'all talk about the Lakers and the Warriors all the time.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to the Friday four-pack coming up 11:30. We'll get to the Patriots as well. They have another number one wide receiver target. Apparently, they've gone from T. Higgins to DK Metcalf to a bunch of other people all the way down to this next guy. We'll tell you about it coming up at 11 o'clock. So stay tuned for it. We'll also update the Jones and Keefe bracket next hour. Too close to call some of the precincts reporting specifically.
Love it.
In the basketball region, as themed by Rich Keefe's t-shirt, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Yeah, you got the Nuggets skyline.
Look at that beauty.
One
Wiggy loved it. Wiggy's like, what is that? Alex English?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I was, as you said, the Mahmoud Abdul-Rayouf is what that is.
My guy.
Mutombo, clutching the back. Yep. Actually, no,
no,
the
no they
ones.
Just changed.
Those are the mountain ones.
They just changed to those other ones that were like a navy blue and like a brown. Jalen Rose. I had a Jalen Rose Nuggets jersey as a kid.
See
what's wrong with that?
You see him at the Celtics-Pistons game the other night?
No, what was he doing?
He was like jumping out into mid-court cheering on the Pistons.
I love the Fab Five. Fab Five was my first team.
I get you probably miss being on TV, but like, could you chill out and just sit in the seats?
Just relax.
But anyway, yeah, not that I want smoke with Jalen Rose. I don't want smoke with Jalen Rose. But I'll tell you what, Chuck wants the smoke with Perk. And I mean, as I am on most things, I'm on Perk's side on this. We were arguing about this off the air.
I'm on Barkley's
side.
You're
with Barkley on this nonsense.
I'm almost on Barkley's side all the time. I love Barkley. Wildly entertaining.
I mean, me too.
But in this case, to say the Lakers saved the NBA season, I don't agree with that. Now, maybe we're too focused on the Celtics and them trying to, you know, repeat. But I'm with them. Like, the Cleveland, like, nationally, Cleveland winning 50 games before anybody else. And Oklahoma City maybe break it through this year. There's a lot of competitive teams in the West. I don't think that this trade, I think people making fun of Dallas for the trade, like, that was almost as big a story as anything else. It's like Luka going to the Lakers. And he's right. Like, ESPN kind of is what it is. You either love it, you hate it, you watch it, you don't watch it. But they're going to talk every day about the Dallas Cowboys, about LeBron James, back in the day, Tim Tebow and Tyler Hansbrough. Like, it was the same for Brett Favre. Like, they talk about the same people all the time. So for them.
Yeah, but all those things are interesting.
What do you mean?
Those are interesting topics.
But yeah, but that's all they talk about. They avoid the other stuff.
But
and so
the,
I think
are the Thunder interesting? Are the Cavs interesting?
Well, so
by the way, another team he left out, Celtics fans, the Celtics. Are they interesting? No, the Lakers are much more interesting.
Well, the Lakers, but I think the Mavericks angle of it is a little bit more interesting.
But
add
the Mavs on
so it. The trade deadline was interesting. There was a lot of guys kind of moving teams. I think it's a little apples and oranges because TNT does a one-hour basketball show.
Correct.
ESPN has to sort of throw a wider net onto everybody.
100%.
Right?
And people say this all the time to us where it's like, oh, well, you know, why don't you talk more Bruins or why don't you talk more Celtics or why are you so focused? It's like, well, we talk about all four things.
But
we're not a one topic, one sport show.
Do you think people who weren't interested in the NBA a month ago are interested now because of
LeBron? I think
LeBron
Luka on the Lakers helps ratings and buzz and things like that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I do. Now, did it save the league? Maybe that's going too far.
It's a little strong.
But I also think Barkley being all butthurt about having to go to ESPN, like, dude, you don't have to go there. You don't have to take their money.
Hasn't he been like in and out the whole time? I feel like he was going to go. He wasn't going
to
go.
Chuck, you don't have to take their money. You don't want their money. Don't take it. You don't want to go to ESPN. Don't go there.
Start your own vlog.
Yeah. So like, I mean, yeah, do your own thing. Like you're all salty about Turner Sports going out of business. Fine. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Keith, we've gone through like
mergers and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And like, you know, I mean, I guess I could have not done it. And was I always the happiest about it? Maybe not. But you go through it and you do it. And so, Chuck, you don't want their money? Don't take their money. You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So all the crying about TNT versus ESPN and all that is nonsense, too.
All right. But then he calls them all idiots over there, right? That's sort of this thing.
Like, all idiots.
Statement. Like, yeah, no, all
I mean,
idiots.
I mean, look.
Which I like. It's a good shot.
It's a good zing. I'm not arguing with that.
It's a good zing. And but then you have Kendrick Perkins coming at him now. And now Kendrick Perkins, who I know you like quite a bit, I have no problem with.
I have the Perk tweet, and then I need you to update me on another beef
going on. There's a lot of basketball beefs going on.
Okay.
But real quick, let me just say this about Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. Used to be a friend of the old show, then he got too big, and now we haven't heard from him in years. So that's all I'm going to say. He's not exactly like, hey, I remember what radio show I used to go on with a lot when I was first coming up in the business. Now he has turned his back and never returned.
Too big
for the best to ever do it. When you look at Moses Moody.
You gotta unplug him and plug him back in. Nick, were you on the show when we had Perk on a bunch? Like, me and Dale had Perk on.
I think so.
Yeah, me and Dale had Perk on a bunch of times.
Too big for his
Brag of the week.
Brag. Too big for his britches?
Maybe. I just think, you forget Keith, where you started from.
Another Keith Beef?
No. I don't want the smoke with Perk.
We had
no,
Milbury.
No.
Sick
brag, bro. Oh, yeah, Milbury.
We had a Milbury.
Get in line.
They'll beat you with your own shoe.
That's true.
If you're 12. 11 years old. Perk also said on Twitter, hey, at NBA on TNT, you might want to tell that senior citizen, Charles Barkley, that I'll be around. When he sees an idiot or a fool in person, make sure he keeps that same energy. He can come playing with me if he wants to, and I'm going to address his ass like the numbers on a house.
What?
Now, this is where I'm not familiar with the terminology here.
Well, like, you put, like, the number on your house, like, for, like, an address.
Straight from the 409, homeboy.
I guess that's his area code.
And we bar none and fade all.
Yeah.
Hashtag Texas boy.
Do you think it means the same if I'm, like, from the 603, come at me?
Yeah, I'm from the 802.
Yeah.
Yeah, deal with that.
Come get some. No sales tax up there. So this is where you lose me, though, right? Well, I've made this case before. Yeah. 25 years old.
Perk loses
or
me a little bit with this, too, yeah.
You can't get in a fight after 25 unless you're, like, defending, like, your loved one. There's no reason to get into a fight unless you're a professional boxer or an MMA fighter, right? Like, so Kendrick Perkins addresses Barkley as a senior citizen. So he's pointing out the fact that he's super old. And the next thing is, like, come at me and I'll fight
you.
Like,
all right,
I'm out.
All right, real quick, if you can, update me on the other beat. What's going on
so
with Stephen A. and LeBron?
At the Laker game, LeBron James was face-to-face with Stephen A. Smith.
The show's GOAT.
Not my GOAT, I didn't say
your GOAT. Turpin
and Jones, they win that. Although we haven't got Billy and Nick's take on it. We could swing the voting the other way.
It's not LeBron.
LeBron.
Okay. Not my GOAT.
Okay.
Well,
not the show's GOAT.
Well, I didn't ask. So it's show's GOAT, yep.
Turpin Jones's GOAT. So LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith face-to-face at the Laker game last night. And a lot of lip-reading experts are saying LeBron told Stephen A. Smith, quote, keep my son out of this bleep. Stephen A., as you can imagine, has spent a lot of time talking about LeBron James and maybe Bronny and LeBron as a father. And so LeBron is confronting Stephen A. I think Stephen A.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
So you know me, I'm anti everything LeBron. And this is another one. Stephen A. Smith's job is to talk about this kind of stuff. And LeBron James is a very, very selfish human. And he is the one. It was his dream to play with his son. I don't imagine it was his son's dream to get fast-tracked and skipped over guys way more deserving than him to be on the team with his dad and only play because of his dad. And then now, if anybody says anything bad about Bronny, LeBron gets upset. I think LeBron thought this was going to be this dream. Oh, it's like Griffey Jr. and Griffey Sr. It is not like that. Everyone is clowning on Bronny. I actually kind of feel a little bad for Bronny because it's not his fault.
Yeah.
He didn't get tied up into this. It's his dad, and he just wants everybody to say how cool this is when it's not that cool.
Put that back up there, Turp, if you could, on Twitch. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I'm a little impressed that Stephen A. didn't really poop his pants right there and, like, back down.
You
like,
can't poop your pants.
Yeah, but I would have. I mean, I know you shouldn't, but I would have in that scenario.
Well, sure. But LeBron James, you got to remember, he's not going to punch out Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
And you know there's cameras everywhere.
I mean, to say they're nose-to-nose is far too strong, but, like, Stephen A. is right there.
Stephen A. is not 6'8", so he's certainly not nose-to-nose, but he stands up. They have a little bit of a talk, but LeBron's like, don't talk about my kid. Your kid's on the Lakers. Your kid's a pro athlete.
You brought your kid into this.
Right.
You brought your kid here to the Lakers with you. What do you mean don't bring your kid into it? You brought your kid into it.
Exactly. He 100% did, and I think for some reason he thought this was going to be great, and everybody else is kind of like laughing at it, and he is upset about it.
No, Dark and Stormy Nights is right. I would have been shooketh if that happened to me. I absolutely shooketh.
But you got to be shooketh on the inside. You got to stay strong on the outside.
It would have been both.
It's like when John Farrell's threatening to fight you with his eyes.
I'm shooketh.
You're like, yeah, I know you could pummel me, but also I don't think that's going to happen. Man, how many clicks would that get?
We're in public. I'm playing the odds here that you're not going to pummel me right here.
If LeBron punched out Stephen A. Smith on the camera, like forget about the $100 million he got from ESPN. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I guess.
I'd take Stephen A.
You'd take Stephen A. in that
one. Yeah, I would.
LeBron's never been in a fight in his life. You never have to.
40-year-old
glamour muscles.
Right.
LeBron flops.
He's looking for a call.
Yeah,
you're like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Hey,
ref!
Ref!
Runs over and grabs a camera and it shows everybody.
By the way, you brought it up.
LeBron was the chosen one since he was 10. There's no chance he's ever been in a fight.
By the way, 5 years, $100 million for Stephen A.
I know.
Good for that guy.
Great for that guy.
Good for that guy.
Holy smokes. He is on TV all the time, right? Like, he's their guy.
But you have to work 24/7. You have to work. You have to be on television at their beck and call all day long.
You have to give that salary up when he becomes president.
But also, that's a good point.
Great point.
Yeah, you don't make much as the president.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.